We can get started whenever you feel like it.
Oh yeah, we have a podcast to do.
Yeah, we do. We're doing something here. As much as I love just chilling. Yeah. We were gossiping for a little while. Gossiping hard.
You know, just a little chismay to start the night out, right?
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, to get us in the mood to talk.
Yeah.
Because now we're amped up. We exactly. got some juicy gossip. Okay. I don't know, do you want to start now?
Sure.
All right, let's go. Oh my god, we're in our last episode.
We made it to the finale.
I'm kind of sad.
I'm a little sad too.
Like, what am I gonna do? Like, what am I gonna have to look forward to once a week?
Maybe a weekly Olive Garden.
Ooh.
Or Chili's.
Ooh. I could get down with that. That would be worth it, I think.
You know, we could, like, say that we're going to work on podcast ideas and
what
stuff.
What if we just record at Chili's?
Oh, my God. Greenwich Cottage Pod, live from your local Chili's.
Like, we'll just get some of those little microphones that you attach to your phone.
Yeah.
And then we'll just sit there and talk our shit while we have our Chili's.
Oh, my God. ASMR of me eating ribs.
Maybe we'll do that every once in a while as, like, a little treat for y'all while we're on break. I think that would be a blast, actually.
I'm already mentally sitting in an Olive Garden.
Ugh.
Eating endless pasta.
Yum. I want some gnocchi soup.
I literally was trying to see if Olive Garden was on DoorDash today for lunch because I wanted the gnocchi soup so bad. And it's not.
No. Ugh. That's dumb.
So dumb.
Super dumb. Let's see. I don't really have any updates. Any show updates or anything. Nothing for me. We're almost at 400 listens.
I'm so...
Pretty crazy.
I'm so fucking proud of us for that.
I know. We owe you guys a photo shoot.
Yes, we sure fucking do.
Yeah, we gotta get that together.
Well, I have a little something, and it's to say that the time has finally come that we did not check in with each other soon enough.
Oh, yeah.
And we finally thought of the same thing and started writing about the same thing this week.
Which is so crazy to me that we did it so fast. Within the first season, we both ended up picking the same person.
Which is funny because I had somebody recommend him to me. I think after, like, our second episode, so I've had that one in my back pocket for a while.
You've been saving him.
I've been saving him. So I was like, oh no, we messed up.
Yeah, we were like, oh, what's your hint this week? Sabrina texted me, was like, what's your hint this week? And I gave my hint. I said, what's yours? And Sabrina said the same thing, and I was like, there's only so many. There's no way. And then Sabrina asked, where's yours from? And I said, mine's from this place, but it didn't happen in the place that they're from. And they were like, we're covering the same person.
It was just so oddly specific.
Yeah,
I was,
it's
like,
too specific.
There's nobody else.
So I, in a flash, found a story that is equally as grody. So
because you're a motherfucking superstar.
Thank you. Thank you. I needed that.
You're welcome. It's true.
So I'm just going to jump right into it because it's pretty crazy.
Crazy.
So today my story takes place in the early 1900s.
Ooh.
And it's weird. So
I
be
love
prepared.
A weird story that's somehow a little Halloween-y, I think.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I was literally writing it this morning, and at one point I just went, ew. And Lou went, what? And I went, this this story I'm doing this week, ooh, it like made me uncomfortable. So
I actually felt that this week as well. So I hope you're happy that we saved the grossest, sickest, and like most uncomfortable for us.
Yep.
For the finale.
And I can't wait to find more just like this. Yeah. So, on July 31st, 1909, 22-year-old Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos, called Elena, was feeling ill, and her family brought her to the hospital for some tests. And it was at the Marine Hospital in Key West, Florida. And that's where she met Carl, a.k.a. Count Carl von Kossel, who was a radiologic technician. God damn. He actually, like, wouldn't have been able to help her with what was wrong with her, and I'll get into that in a second. She was diagnosed with tuberculosis, which was fatal at the time because it's the early 1900s.
Oh, no.
And before I get too deep into what happened, I'm going to give you a little background on Carl.
Oh, please do. Carl von Cooter, whatever his name is.
Exactly. Carl von Cooter.
Yeah.
Carl was born in Germany on February 8th, 1877. Sorry.
He's old.
He's old. He grew up in Imperial Germany, and he ended up immigrating to the United States in 1926. His sister was already in Florida, which is where he would settle and be joined later by his wife, Doris Schaefer, and two daughters. However, he left his family in Zephyr Hills, Florida in 1927 when he took a job as a radiology technician at U.S. Marine Hospital in Key West under the name Carol von Kossel.
What a dickhead.
What a name. he was also claiming to falsely, like, not only be a doctor and a count, but Carl also claimed that throughout his life he had been experiencing visions.
Oh, sick.
In these visions, Carl would claim that a long-dead ancestor, Countess Anna Constanilia von Kossel, revealed the face of his true love, an exotic, quotation marks, dark-haired woman, and said that that was going to be his wife, his soulmate, basically.
Hmm. Okay.
And that happened to match Elena's description, essentially. She was like I believe she was Puerto Rican. I don't want to get that wrong, though. She was a Hispanic woman. So she had, you know, long dark hair. She was darker skinned. She was beautiful. I will show you a picture of her later.
Ooh.
Actually, I'll just show you a picture of her right now.
Hot. Okay. She is striking.
She's a baddie.
She is a baddie.
She's gorgeous. So, like I said, he was apparently a radiology technician. So he can't, like, he's not a doctor. He can't do anything to help with tuberculosis. He can't do anything to cure it. He can't do anything. But that didn't stop him from becoming obsessed with her care and treating her and, like, trying to cure her. So with her family's approval, because he convinced them that he was a doctor.
Oh, my God.
He tried out different remedies, just throwing shit at the wall. He had no fucking idea what he was doing. So he would smuggle expensive equipment to her home, as well as, like, perform experimental tonics and tinctures to, like, help save her. He also apparently also administered painful treatments using a device that included electrodes, because he thought charging her oxygen electrons with electrodes could possibly cure her.
Wow. There's a lot of ifs in that equation.
Yeah, like, the family's like, is this going to help? It might. I'm hoping it will. I believe it will.
Have you seen?
So we'll see.
Have you seen What We Do in the Shadows?
A little bit.
So there in this season, there's like something that's going on with one of them. And Laszlo is like, I'm a scientist. I'll figure this out. And just does absolutely off the wall shit.
You know, sometimes you just gotta fake it till you make it.
Yeah, but not like, when you're a doctor. Cure me? And he's like, no.
Yeah, like not when you're a doctor. That's like with your like confidence and stuff. Yeah. Don't do that if you're a doctor. So
or a pilot.
Yeah, please, just like yeah. I mean, hopefully people have training now. This was also the 1900s. Let's give it that. So throughout the time before her death, Carl would continuously profess his love for her, as well as like showering her with gifts and adoration. Like every time he would come to treat her, he would bring her a bunch of stuff, and she would express that she had no interest, because not only was she dying of tuberculosis, she was like suffering from grief because her husband left her after a miscarriage. So she had like no interest in Carl. Aww. She was like grieving through her shit and fucking dying. Like that is not the time to. Yeah.
Yeah. Not give her a break, Carl.
Yeah. So despite his efforts, Elena succumbed to her disease on October 26, 1931. Carl paid for the funeral, and then with the permission of the family, he commissioned the construction of an above ground mausoleum in Key West Cemetery, which sounds nice, right? Like that just sounds like a nice thing that a doctor is doing.
Sure.
Like going above and beyond to help a family after the death of a loved one. Like that's great.
Yeah.
But obviously, being a white man, he had ulterior motives in doing so.
Oh no. What was he doing in the mausoleum, Raina? Don't tell me he was doing in the What was he doing?
So even though the family gave their consent and were appreciative, they didn't know that Carl would be the only person with a key to the mausoleum.
Oh no.
So Elena de Hoyos was embalmed and interred in the Key West Cemetery. After her internment, Carl visited Elena's grave nightly. He left gifts and even had a telephone installed in her tomb. So he continued his visits with Elena for the next 2 years. And during this period, Carl was fired from his job at the hospital for unknown reasons. But I'm hoping it's because they found out he wasn't a fucking doctor.
Yeah, please, dear God.
Reportedly, over the following 2 years, his behavior got even more strange. Those who knew him became suspicious, and he was seen, like, purchasing women's clothing and perfumes. A neighbor even claims to have seen him dancing with what looked like a life-size doll.
Oh.
So in 1940, Elena's sister, Florina, heard of Carl's weird behavior and the rumor spreading that he could have either like a replica of Elena or something like more sinister, like maybe her body. So she decided to visit him to check it out, to be like, what the fuck is going on? Carl apparently very happily showed Florina Elena's body. So Florina thought that what she saw was an effigy Carl made of her sister. However, it was later discovered that it was actually her corpse.
Oh, so gross.
Carl admitted that he broke into Elena's tomb in April of 1933 and used a cart to transport her body back to his house.
And he's just been sitting on that one, huh? Interesting.
Over the next 7 years, Carl worked hard to preserve her body as best as he could. So Florina notified authorities because she was like, what the fuck?
Lord.
And Carl was arrested and detained. And Carl was psychiatrically examined and found mentally competent to stand trial on the charge of wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization. So after a preliminary hearing on October 9th, 1940, at the Monroe County Courthouse in Key West, Carl was held to answer on the charge, but the case was eventually dropped and he was released.
Why?
As the statute of limitations for the crime had expired.
Oh my God.
Oh. She had some feelings about that one.
Stella couldn't stand that.
So an autopsy exposed all of Carl's extensive modifications to retain. This is where it gets weird, so I'm just giving you guys that warning now.
Okay.
So retain the shape of her frame, he used coat hangers, wires and stuffed her torso with rags.
Ugh.
He used plaster of Paris to reconstruct her face, which he touched up with mortician's wax. He replaced her eyes with glass ones. This is the part that I really didn't like.
I have the ickiest look on my face right now.
After her hair fell out, Carl made a makeshift wig and he stapled it to her
Ew.
Head.
No, Carl.
Carl.
No.
Okay. So Carl used Ilana's real hair, some of which her mother gave to Carl after her death. I don't know why the fuck he would be asking for her hair and why the fuck her mom was like, yeah, here you go. And why the fuck her mom had it.
Sure, reasonable request.
So to cover the smell of decay, he used a lot of perfume, flowers, disinfectants, and preserving agents. The creepiest, most disturbing detail was a tube inserted into her vagina. And most sources agree that Carl never confessed to committing necrophilia, and there was reportedly no evidence that there was any post-mortem intercourse. But the info about the tube didn't come out until 1972, so a lot of people just assumed that because the hearing was already done. He was already let go. He wasn't on trial anymore. They were like, oh, who cares?
Who cares?
So nobody really knows for sure if he used that tube for sex. But otherwise, why is it there?
Yeah, there's no good reason for that.
Yeah. Carl did keep Ilana in his bed, dressed up complete with jewelry. So he had her iced out in the bed.
Oh my god.
When Carl took Ilana's remains home, he restored her in a makeshift laboratory that he built. And the laboratory was built in the shape of an airplane, which Carl called Ilana's airship. And Carl's plan was eventually to use the plane to bring Ilana's back to life. And mind you, this man was mentally competent to stand trial. And according to an article and all that's interesting, Carl thought that he could fly her high into the stratosphere so that radiation from outer space could penetrate her tissues and restore life to her somnolent form.
Okay. So it sounds like Carl is schizophrenic.
So at this point, he separated from his obsession of Ilana's body. So he used a death mask to create a life-sized effigy of Ilana and lived with it until his death at age 75 on July 3rd of 1952.
Oh my dear God.
His body was discovered on the floor of his home 3 weeks after his death. He died under the name Carl Tanzler, and it has been recounted that Carl was found in the arms of Ilana's effigy upon discovery of his corpse, but his obituary reported that he died on the floor behind one of his organs.
I'm glad that he had to lay there for 3 weeks, because that's what he deserved, honestly.
Oh, do you want to see a picture of what she looked like after?
I mean, not particularly, but I know you're going to show me, so let's see it. Shut up. That literally looks like Poot Lovato.
Oh my god, it does! No, okay.
That is absolutely foul.
I showed this to Lou because I was like, homie, she don't even look the same.
No.
That doesn't look like her.
Not in the slightest.
Oh, man. Oof. That was really good.
Oof.
Well, there you have it, folks. I'm mad. Throw that man in jail.
He's dead.
Oh, I don't care. Throw him in jail. Yeah. So, like, mine, we agreed that both of our stories were going to be murders. Mine's technically not a murder. He tried his best to save her life, but it's fucking tuberculosis in the 1900s, you know? So, he didn't kill her, but what he did with her after, I think, was worse. So,
yeah. That's sick and twisted.
Sick and twisted!
Oh, shit. Wow.
So there you have it, folks. That's my story for episode 10.
You delivered.
I fucking served it on a platter, and it is clean.
It is piping hot.
And delicious.
And delicious, because Raina is serving what? Cunt.
Cunt. C-U-N-T.
Well, man. Do you want to take a little break?
Of course I want
to
take a little
I
break.
I need to, like, recharge and recenter after that.
Yeah, it was a very unsettling story.
Hell yeah, it was. Well, let's eat some pizza.
Yeah, let's take a little break and eat some fucking pizza. Okay, bye.
I feel like eventually I'll need a Twilight tattoo.
Yeah, I think I eventually will also need a Twilight tattoo.
Maybe that's something we could do together.
Yeah, get matching Twilight tattoos.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I think the little, like, outline of the pickup truck and, like, the tree is cute.
Yeah. I'd want to think of something. I'd want it to be funny, but also not, like, super obvious. I love tattoos like that. Like, a lot of my video game tattoos, like, you wouldn't know that they're from that video game unless you've played that video game. Mm. Like, I've had people point out some of them and be like, is that from this game? I'm like, it is. And otherwise, like, people who don't play that game just think it's
some cool thing. See, I didn't know that, 'cause I'm not a gamer.
Yeah.
Well, are we ready to come back?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. So,
We're back. We're stoned.
Hell yeah, we're stoned.
We had a little bit of pizza.
Oh, excuse me.
We planned our outfits for the Pippin show this Saturday.
Which we are so excited to go see! And now, and we talked some tattoos. And now for the story that is so interesting. We both wanted to write about it. I am going to be talking about, and also, I do not know how to pronounce this name, and I asked my friend, and they said they were going to help me, and they didn't. I still love you, Trina, but if I say it wrong, it's your fault.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, I'm going to be talking about Issei Sagawa. Is that how you would have said it?
Yeah.
Okay. Otherwise known as the Kobe Cannibal.
God.
And that was the clue that led us to figure out we both were doing the same thing. Cannibal.
Yep.
So, Issei Sagawa was born on April 26, 1949 in Kobe, Japan. He was born prematurely and with health issues.
Me too.
Hopefully that's where the similarities stop. But his family was, like, very wealthy.
Oh, not me too.
His dad was the president of a company. I can't really remember what kind of company, but it sounded like a big important one. And then his grandpa had done something big and important too.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so they were kind of, like, emotionally distant and always, like, off doing their own shit, which was kind of hard because he was already introverted and, like, being premature, he was kind of small for his age and kind of, like, sickly and weak.
Oh.
And I guess because he was alone all the time and, you know, there was something not right with him, He, from the time he was in kindergarten, started experiencing thoughts of cannibalism.
Jesus Christ. This is, children terrify me, okay? Yes. And the thought that a child in kindergarten is thinking about consuming human flesh doesn't sit right with me. I will never trust a child, I don't think.
Yeah, he apparently said that, like, he was looking at a classmate's thigh and was like, that looks good.
Oh!
It was also unclear, like, one thing I read said it was a boy's thigh, one thing I read said it was a girl's thigh, so I don't really know. But he seemed to prefer women.
Oh.
Okay. I'm not saying neither here nor there. I have no evidence of anything except women, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
He also admitted to participating in bestiality with his dog.
Oh, no.
Throughout his youth.
Oh, no. There was a rumor in my middle school that there was a girl. I don't really know if it was true or not. I was told from a lot of people that it was true. I don't know if it was, but there was this rumor that went around in my middle school that a girl would put peanut butter in a place and let her dog.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I've also heard that in middle school, but no. About a boy, so that's,
I feel like,
concerning.
I've definitely heard it about a boy, too. I feel like boys are just dumb.
I would love to hope that both of all of those were false.
Yeah, I would. I hope so.
That would make me sleep better tonight.
It really makes you wonder what they're up to now.
Yeah. Ugh. When he was 15, he went to a psychiatrist to talk about his urges.
Good.
But he found it, like, unhelpful. Oh. And I'm pretty sure he only went, like, once.
Oh. Yeah, no, one time is all you need. It works after just one appointment.
Yeah, I mean, but also, like, it's very likely that this person was like, hey, yo, I don't really know how to deal with you because you're freaking me out.
Yeah, that's true.
That's, like, probably not one you hear often, but I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
I feel like my old therapist was awesome. I loved her. I feel like if I told her some shit like that, she'd be like, okay. And where do you think that's coming from? Like, she would be like, she wouldn't be like, what the fuck? She would be like, she'd be like, why do you think that is?
Interesting. Like, scribbling furiously in her notes.
Call 911 immediately.
Well, lots of people have asked him, you know, where those thoughts come from. And he basically is like, it's an extension of having a crush on somebody and liking someone. Why doesn't everybody want to, like, also eat their flesh?
Well, now, hang on. You may have got me there a little. Because there are definitely times, like, my cats, I would eat them up in a pinch. Like,
yeah, there's definitely that, like, cuteness overload thing where you just want to, like, munch on them a little bit.
Yeah, just like a bit. Yeah, just take a little bite out of them. Cuteness aggression.
Exactly.
But, like, I don't know if I would take it far enough to do it.
Well, he was also, like, thinking about taking slices and the best ways to prepare them.
Yeah,
and things
that's
like that.
A little different.
So I feel like, maybe at that point your opinion is invalid, sir.
Yeah, and maybe it's a little misleading. It's not like an extension of a crush. That's a little deeper than that, I think. I've never thought of ways to consume my cats.
He was doing the most.
And the fact that he's just, like, open with it. And he's like, it's like just when you have a crush on somebody. It's pretty normal.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in 1973, when he was 24, he was going to, I want to say it, Waco. It's probably not. University in Tokyo. He stalked a German woman. Spoiler alert. She was very tall. She was like 5'11".
Wow.
And broke into her apartment while she was asleep.
Oh, no. Hey, don't do that.
Stop, Luna. You're being so bad.
Stop it.
She hates not having my attention. Whenever I, like, FaceTime somebody, and specifically just FaceTime, she follows me around the house, like, biting me, like, aggressively. Or she'll, like, bite my phone or, like, slap it out of my hands. She's, like, bit my hair before, like, pulled on my hair. She's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to be like, sorry, guys, I have to hang up. My cat won't stop attacking me.
My cat needs my attention. I have to go.
Immediately. So, Sagawa's plan, once he was in her apartment, was to slice off a piece of her derriere.
Oh.
And then, like, scoop. But she woke
just dip.
Up. Yeah, yeah, he was just gonna leave. But she woke up.
Yeah, because that hurts.
Yeah, and then, like, pushed him to the floor and I guess was able to call the police.
Good for her.
Yeah, good for her. So he was caught in the act and was charged with attempted rape. But, well, like, obviously, she didn't know he was gonna
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Like, he just was, like, in there and she was like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, that's fair.
So it seemed like just attempted rape, but his wealthy father paid her off and the charges got dropped.
How much? Do you know?
It didn't say how much, but I would love to know.
Yeah. I would love to know how much it took for her to, because, like, did she, I wonder if she found out, like, he's like, no, I wasn't trying to rape you. I was just trying to eat your flesh, you know? And then when his father was like, here's 10 grand. She'd be like, you know what? Okay. Like,
okay. I got you. 4 years later, he went to get his PhD in literature at the Sorbonne in Paris.
Oh.
And while he was there, he said he would bring home a prostitute every night and want to shoot them.
Oh.
But he could just never get himself to pull the trigger.
What? Hold on, he could never get himself to pull the trigger, meaning he would have to, at some point, had to have pulled the gun out.
You know, I was thinking that, too. Like, is he speaking literally?
Yeah, like, what were they doing? Like, were they not freaking out? Like,
right. Was he, like, I don't know, like,
role-playing?
Waiting for till, oh, they wouldn't be asleep.
Yeah,
like, what?
They would just go and do their job and leave.
Yeah, so I don't understand.
Weird.
Very weird. On June 11th, 1981, when he was 32, he invited a classmate and friend over named Renee Hartevelt.
Oh.
She was, I want to say, Dutch?
Okay.
Do you recall?
I don't know if I got this far, actually.
Okay.
Luckily, you caught me at a good time. Okay. I wasn't very far into it.
I want to say she was Dutch. They were like, they had gone to school together. He invited her over to his apartment for dinner under the guise that she was going to help him translate some poetry.
Hmm.
And apparently, he had brought her over the night before as well, tried to shoot her.
Oh my God.
But the gun misfired, and it only fueled his need to kill her more.
I mean, isn't that like a thing with like serial killers? That, like, if they, like, don't succeed in one, it, like, makes them feel like they need to do it even more.
Yeah,
and then they go
kind of
crazy with it. Yeah.
So, the second time, on June 11th, she was, like, sitting faced away from him, and he shot her in the neck.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. He said he had a moment of, like, hesitation where he was going to call, like, an ambulance, but then he was like, no, this is what I've been waiting for 32 years. I can't spoil this.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So he had a moment where he was like, I should call the cops.
Yeah.
And he, God damn it, man.
And just, like, what a coward to, like, shoot her when she's not looking.
Yeah.
And she was kind of, like, his ideal target because she was everything that he wasn't. Right. He
what
thought of
fuck?
Himself as like weak and small. And he was like 4 foot nine. And like sickly and like scrawny.
Four
and
foot
she
nine.
Was tall and beautiful and like blonde.
Yeah.
She was 25 years old.
Damn.
Yeah. And once she was dead, he raped her body.
Oh.
And began cutting her up and eating pieces of her.
Ew. Just raw?
Raw and cooked. He like...
Oh, he chefed it up?
Yep.
Ooh.
He wanted to kind of like try it all.
Ooh.
So he took pieces from her butt, her breasts, her face, her feet, her thighs, and her neck.
Oh my God.
Yeah. There is something else he did with her private parts. It is really, really nasty, and I'm not even going to say it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ew.
But he was, like, eating pieces of her. He was, like, storing it in his fridge.
Ew.
And then when, like, the rest of her body started to decompose, he was like, okay, I gotta get rid of her. He dismembered her body, put it in two different suitcases, got a taxi to a local park with a lake, and was going to, like, drop these suitcases down into the lake. But people in the park were like, hey, that weird man has bleeding suitcases. Yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah, they were literally dripping.
Oh my God.
So the French police catch him, obviously.
Yeah.
And in the act, again. And he is arrested.
Good.
He immediately confessed, saying, I killed her to eat her flesh.
Oh my God.
He was awaiting trial for 2 years, but the, like, fancy attorney that his father paid for helped him get declared legally unfit to stand trial.
Oh, my God.
And insane.
So, I mean, he is.
I mean.
To be fair.
Yeah, I agree. So, the charges were dropped, and he was ordered to spend the rest of his life in a mental hospital.
That's good, I guess.
But they didn't want him in a mental hospital in France. God. So they deported him back to Japan. He went immediately to a mental hospital there. But because the charges were dropped in France, the records were sealed and the Japanese authorities couldn't get a hold of them.
God damn
it. So they had no choice but to drop the charges.
Oh my God.
Sagawa checked himself out of a mental hospital. The Matsuzawa Mental Hospital in Tokyo, and walked free on August 12th, 1986.
What the fuck?
And he spent the rest of his life free.
Did he do it again? Do we know?
He never did it again. But he wrote about 20 different books.
God damn it.
Lectured at colleges about,
what the fuck?
Like, his urges and, like, crime and stuff like that. He did talk shows, manga. He would do softcore porn where he would, like, bite people.
What the fuck?
Yeah. All kinds of, like, tons.
So he just capitalized off of his fucking insanity.
Oh, yeah. He doubled down.
What the fuck?
There's lots of pictures of him just, like, holding up forks and stuff. At one point when he was, like, struggling to get work. Because, like, he would get hired for things and then people would protest and then he would be like banned from them. So at one point he was writing like restaurant reviews.
What the fuck? This tastes nothing like flesh, but it is good. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. It's really disgusting. He literally was like, my only regret is not eating her while she was still alive.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Did he think it made a difference? I mean, I guess it kind of would.
He just, like, didn't really want to kill anyone.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted
Somebody to willingly. I feel like this dude could have started a cult. He could have gotten some. He's not attractive, is he?
No.
Okay.
No. He's a weird dude.
If he was attractive, he could have gotten women to, like, probably offer up their fucking flesh.
Especially being, like, rich.
Yeah.
But in 2005, his parents died, and he, like, had to pay off their debts and stuff.
Mm.
And at one point was even on, like, Social Security.
Damn.
But he was banned from attending their funeral.
Dang.
And then in 2015, he suffered two heart attacks and needed, like, round-the-clock care. He was in his, like, 70s, I think. Yeah. Or, yeah, close to his 70s at that point. And so his younger brother would care for him sometimes, or just, like, people that they hired.
God.
And then he died on November 24th, 2022. So just not even a year ago, from heart complications caused by pneumonia.
What the fuck?
So I guess our theme for this episode, without realizing it, was men who are sick and fucking twisted.
Sick and fucking twisted. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't like it. Icky, icky, icky.
Very, very icky.
I'm so glad I don't know any men. I'm kidding. I know men, but they're all good men.
We hope so.
Hope so. But oh my god, that was fucking episode 10. Well, we have a little spell left, yeah. A little witchy thing. We're gonna take a little smoke break and then
get that set up so we can do it all together.
Yay! Okay, we'll be back.
Okay, bye.
Okay, we're back. We got it.
We had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, there. Hopefully next season we'll have the better recording stuff so that we won't have to fucking worry about this.
Yeah, that would be nice. So we want to do a little spell with you guys.
Yes.
So I'm burning some Palo Santo incense.
My favorite.
So good.
I prefer Palo Santo over like white sage or any other sort of sage. Sage for me is very heavy on my energy. It's very thick. Mm-hmm. Palo Santo is like relaxing.
It feels cleansing.
Yeah, it feels like. I prefer Palo Santo over any type of sage smudge, just because, I don't know, it's just too, it's too thick for me. It's too much energy.
Yeah. You gotta scale it back.
So. Yeah, sometimes you just want
less is more.
A nice vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be fun for us to do a little glamour perfume.
Yay. Cute.
So cute.
I'm gonna make that. I think maybe like a little video.
Ooh, okay. Excuse my terribly messy table. Do not like that in the slightest.
Okay. I think we got it though. I think we're back. I'm gonna keep watching it. We're having so many technical difficulties.
If I hear that sound again, I'm gonna start crying.
Yeah, for some reason our mics got weird. And then there was this long buzzing sound, and then our voices got really robot-y, and it was really creepy.
It sounded like aliens out to get us. I'm not okay right now.
Well, now we're about to do a spell, so it's going to be all good.
I'm breathing in the Palo Santo. Yes,
it's all right.
It's all good.
Do you want to hit?
Yeah, I
know. Okay.
Yeah, I want to hit. Okay, so last we left off, I'm pretty sure I was telling you guys about this little red jar I got from the witch store. I'm gonna cleanse it with the Palo Santo, just stick it right over the incense and swirl the smoke all around in there. And then for my base of the perfume, I'm doing Finding Self-Love Oil,
cute,
which I also got at the store. I don't really know what the base oil is, but they made it with amber, vetiver, lilac, violet, gardenia, honeysuckle, and white musk. So I really like the way it smells. I'll hand it to you in a sec so you can smell it. And then next, also got at the witch store, but this one doesn't say what ingredients are in it. But since, again, I'm amongst all men all day and I'm the boss, I like to add a little extra oomph to everything. Period. I do with some essence of bend over oil.
Ooh,
yeah, look at the illustration on it.
That's real sexy.
She's like got a man on his knees in front of her, and she's got a whip. I'm going to pour a little of essence of Bendover in there.
I'll put a little of this on before I go home and update you on what happens.
Oh, yeah. And then I've got these tiny bottles of little crystal chips.
Cute.
So I'd like to add some of those in there. I've got some rose quartz for some attraction. Then I also have, so what I have says chill tonight. Apparently it has like lots of different names. The one I kept seeing online most often was like Fenite or something. It started with a P. I can't really remember. But this says chill tonight.
Okay.
But anyways, it's really pretty, like light greenish, yellowish color. And it's good for like self-confidence and just like feeling yourself and being a bad bitch.
Period.
Also just like your intuition and knowing things. And I like to be on top of it as the boss. So I throw a little bit of those in there, or a lot of it in me, actually. And then I also have some like flowers that I'm gonna stuff in there, a couple little dried flowers.
Cute.
In my box of witch stuff that is like overcrowded and smells like a punch in the face because of all the different herbs that are in there and like candles and jars and shit.
A little apothecary.
Yeah, the whole apothecary. So I'm gonna put some hibiscus leaves, some dried hibiscus, for lust. I want them to like want me and also be afraid of me.
Period.
And then I've also got a teeny bit of, it's called Who's Your Mama spray.
Nice.
That, it's not really, like, supposed to touch your skin. It's like a spray. So yeah. I just kind of, like, put a teeny, teeny, teeny little bit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give it a little, like, pizzazz.
Yeah.
And there you have some glamour perfume to help nice. You be the baddest fucking bitch in the room.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Get that tip money.
Hell yeah. Get that fucking tip money, y'all.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I can't wait to see how it serves you.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll let you know. Well, that was episode 10, you guys. Yeah.
She's so excited.
Thank you so much for sticking around for all 10 episodes. If you did, if you're finding us while we're on break, don't worry. We're going to be back soon. If you want to know the official release date, be sure to go follow our Instagram at GWC Podcast. And you'll be able to see all of our posts, all of our updates, all of our behind the scenes shit. All of our pics. We're going to do a little photo shoot for you guys. We've got a lot of fun stuff in the works. We've got a lot of fun stuff planned. We've got more planning to do. We're very excited for next season. We're going to take a little break. We're going to recharge, reassess, and we're going to get back to you guys. If you have any email comment, or if you have any comments, questions, concerns, corrections, suggestions, anything like that, feel free to email us at make sure to email us at Greenwich Pottage.
At greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Like I said, follow our Instagram. If you like us, be sure to give us a review. Give us 5 stars. Share us with everyone you know. Like, comment, share, all that good stuff. And we'll be back very soon. And we love you guys so much. And thank you guys so much for the support and the love so far. And all the listens and all the feedback. It's been really awesome to hear from you guys. We would love to hear more from you.
Yeah, this has been so very special.
It's been so fun. I'm so excited.
I have so many new besties.
Yay. Well, I hope you guys keep lighting up.
And looking out while we're gone.
And we'll be back very soon. And we've got a little special something for you for Halloween, so.
So don't miss us too much.
Not too much. We'll be back. We love you.
Good night.
Bye.